You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is no stranger to KTP, Dr. Gregory Rocha from the Political Science Department, and I want to thank him once again for helping us out during the pledge drive that we had. But coming up, something else that's very important, and that's Election Day, May 11th. And Dr. Rocha, you have always been with us to kind of talk a little bit about the election, then afterwards we will talk about the winners. This coming election, and because it's a mayoral election, tell us about the importance of this and as far as the percentage of people who go out and vote, because the last time we talked about election was a presidential election, and as you said, generally for presidential elections, a lot of people show up.
That's true, Louis. And I think we'll have a pretty good turnout overall for this time. We can tell because early voting has been up. But I think there are a few things that help us understand, at least, or why it is that we think this is going to take place, or that and that's the good voter turnout. And that's because, of course, we've seen the early vote total numbers are pretty good. But then also, this is a race where there's no incumbent in the mayoral spot. And in fact, this is the first time, Louis, that under this system of the 4-year term of office for a mayor, that we'll see a non-incumbent or no incumbents on the ballot. So it's wide open. There are a sizable number of candidates. There's been a lot of money that has been spent on this race. So in many ways, we're breaking new ground. And along with that, we also have a number of propositions that have been put forth for the voters to vote on. And that, I think, is drawing a lot of attention. And then finally, Louis, we also have some school board races, among them for the EPISD. And in light of all that's gone on lately with the school board and the baseball stadium and so forth, I think there's a fair amount of interest in the public about these elections.
Greg, sometimes people, because they're not informed, they'll either not vote on those, skip them, or just vote on whatever. Is it because of the way they're written? Is it too complicated? Or people just need to go out and educate themselves? Or
well, surely somebody could make the case, Louis, that in a democracy, being a participant, and if somebody wants to participate, then they will inform themselves about issues and so forth. And often we hear people say, well, I don't have any input on things, and here's an opportunity to do so. But yet we run into this paradox of somebody has now the chance to make decisions. But there's quite a bit of decision-making to be made. And sometimes, and it doesn't take much, Louis, some candidates or others in the community and so forth, or just people on their own can think that to do what's being done with all of these propositions is not good. And therefore, they end up voting against things. And it motivates people that way.
You know, it's been said by many people that El Paso is really a big, small town, and that sometimes we ourselves are the ones to blame because we don't vote for progression. Can you briefly go over some of the charter amendments or bond issues that are going to stand out that people need to be made aware of?
Yeah, I think there are two that probably have caught the greatest amount of attention. And one of them has to do with moving municipal elections from the current time that it is in the May of odd-numbered years and move them into the November of even-numbered years during congressional and presidential elections. That's quite a shakeup. And the argument for supporters is that when you do that, many more people will cast votes because that's the presidential election. And right now, voter turnout in municipal elections tends to be about 10 or so percent and maybe jumps up to about 15 to 17 when the mayor's on the ticket. But the detractors say that to do that is to put an even long ballot that we have in November is to make it even longer. And that's that much more work that a voter has to go through. And more than that, there's so much attention that's directed to congressional and presidential races. How much thought goes into voting for the local or the mayoral races. So that's, you know, it, you know, both sides very generally right there. And then there's another proposition further down on the ballot that deals with non-discrimination when it comes to employment hiring, which, of course, brings out what we saw a couple of years ago with benefits to same-sex partners. And that's caught also a fair amount of attention, due in part to what we went through a couple of years ago. And that also has caught a lot of attention. So Mr. Ortega, for instance, has strongly supported this position. And then there are a number of candidates who have said that they are opposed to not just that, but really to everything. And I think those are probably the two biggest that catch the attention of the public today.
When you have this many candidates, you have to think, and not necessarily, I guess, but I'm thinking with that many candidates, the votes are going to be split all over the place. There has to be a runoff.
Absolutely so, Louis. And I think most people assume that's going to be the case. I mean, if somebody needs to get that simple majority, 50% plus one vote, that's a really tough thing to do. And I think overall, Louis, we have some pretty strong candidates in here, and they have their bases of support. So more than likely, it will result in a runoff, and we'll just have to see who those two are. I think publicly, and I've talked with any number of people, they seem to think that it's going to be Mr. Ortega and Mr. Leeser. But again, those are just opinions. If that were the case, well, we could just not have the election. So,
as far as campaigning and publicizing, for a long time, in fact, even the El Paso Times mentioned it, that so far he had only seen two political signs for two candidates. There, you don't see as many. And I guess maybe, like you said, because it's in May and not in November, that you don't see as many on these empty lots.
That's true. And I've driven on the interstate to look and see where signs are. And I've seen at least four candidates on the interstate driving along. And then also in and around neighborhoods, there are the yard signs and so forth. They're starting to come up. And I've noticed, Louis, like what you said, that this is this is taking place a little bit later, maybe with about a week or a week and a half to go. And my sense is there probably was quite a bit going on that distracted the public from the mayoral elections, whether it's taking down the ASARCO stacks in City Hall or what's going on with the school district. That has, again, affected the public's attention. And now, with about a week left, things are starting to pick up. We've surely seen TV ads or listened to them on the radio over the past few weeks, but they're really starting to come on pretty quickly. And that really does start, Louis, during early voting. And there, Louis, we found out that about half the turnout votes early. So that's getting to be more and more of a trend here. And that's really a trend nationally as well.
And as far as the candidates go, experience, of course, Mr. Ortega, has the political experience. Mr. Is it Haddad that you said ran before?
Yes, okay. He ran. Okay. In 2009.
Okay, so are those the only two with political experience? Mr. Lopez, I think, maybe?
He's there for the first time. Jaime Perez has run several times. Mr. Artalejo has run for other seats and so on. So you take a look and you'll see there's a strong mix.
So Mr. Cormel is probably the only one who's...
He and Oscar Leeser, I think, are... And maybe Mr. Martinez as well.
And now, as far as the election goes, and we're talking about, I want to come back to some of the issues that you mentioned before, like the ASARCO, the City Hall, the school district. What are your impressions of Mr. Margo being elected, I believe, is it president to the El Paso School District?
Right. He's one of the managers, and he's doing what looks to be a pretty good job. It appears as if he's starting to use his connections in Austin to help move things along and to perhaps settle some concerns that have existed about the transition from the Board of Trustees to the Board of Managers. There's a lot of legislation, or some legislation, that is going to be considered and up for vote by the body, both the House and the Senate, coming up here fairly soon. And it looks like Mr. Margo's, again, using his connections there from his time and, again, his long record of service there with the Republican Party to smooth things out and to help inform the legislators what to expect and the position of the Board of Managers here. So it seems as if right now he's serving as, our best conduit between us and the state legislature. That's pretty good.
And it seems like every day we see somebody else who is implicated, as far as a teacher or someone else who worked for the district. And at first it was just kind of they were looking at Bowie High School. And it's not just Bowie High School. It's every student who attends any school in the El Paso Independent School District, whether it be a school that's in a rich district or a poor district, as Mr. Margo and some other people have said, what we have here are the children, and they are the ones who are important. And the state, as you know very well, has come down here and taken a closer look at us.
And not just them, also the FBI really has been front and center when it comes to the investigations. And there are others who will tell you, Louis, that we're the tip of the iceberg, and that when you put testing put so much onto testing, and it has implications for students, faculty, administrators, districts, and so forth, that this type of behavior is almost inevitable. So, again, we'll have to see. Is it really the case that we're an outlier, or are we really just one of many school districts that have taken this practice?
Now, as far as the mayoral election, because as we mentioned, there are a lot of people, and we hope, please do not stay home and say, well, there are too many of them and there's going to be another chance. Okay, if there is a runoff and if you did not vote May 11th, are you allowed to vote in the runoff?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And let's also keep in mind, Louis, that and let everybody know that there's more than the mayor.
Yes, yes,
on
yes.
There, that
we yes,
have
we forgot
city
about
council
the,
seats, council also seats, school yes. board seats. And then if you live outside of the city, maybe in Anthony or Canutillo or elsewhere, there are important elections there. So this is the time. This is the period when local governments hold their elections, and they're very important elections. So we urge
and I'm glad you brought up the council seats, because talk about the representatives here.
Yes, we have four seats. Two of them, three of them are open. One, the incumbent, Emma Acosta, has no challenger. And in the other races, we have two. And then also Mr. Robinson's up for re-election. But in two of the races, they're open. And just like what we see at the mayorship, Louis, we've got a sizable number of candidates. So, again, there probably will be runoffs there as well. And it looks like Mr. Robinson's in a pretty interesting race as well. So we might see a runoff there.
Well, Greg, thank you very much for being with us here today. Please go out and vote on May 11th. And Greg and I are planning, if there is a runoff in the mayoral election, we're planning to interview both candidates before that election, and also some of the other issues we'll deal with as well. But again, thank you to Dr. Gregory Rocha from the Political Science Department talking about the upcoming election, which is May 11th. Thank you, Greg, for being with us.
Thanks, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Elvin Elvis, and our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Science.